Environmentally sound for your mind. HRNradio.com.
And good morning, good day. Welcome to the November edition of Backbeat Radio here on HealthyLife.net. I'm Jay Cruz checking in. Got a Backbeat word on the street and a whole lot of music news coming up this hour. Among other things, we'll talk a little bit about the new Queen movie and how well that biopic did at the box office. We'll talk a little bit about Joe Walsh and his plans for Veterans Day, his big concert going on in Seattle, and a whole lot of other music news. Thanks for checking in. Starting off, Alice in Chains are premiering a video for Never Fade. It's the latest single from Rainier Fogg, their latest release. The clip is directed by Adam Mason, who previously worked on one for the project's lead single called The One You Know. The Never Fade video is a continuation of The One You Know, says vocalist-guitarist William Duvall. The full story will gradually be revealed, but for now, you can check out what we love to do best, play live and tell a story with our music. Rainier Fogg recently debuted at number 12, pretty respectable, on the U.S. Billboard 200 charts with opening week sales of 31,000 equivalent album units, including 29,000 in traditional album sales, according to Nielsen Music. Stephen Stills and Judy Collins have once again teaming up this month. This time they hit the road together to support their 2017 album, Everybody Knows. The tour kicked off November 1st in Houston, Texas at the Cullen Theater, continuing into McAllen, Texas, and they've announced stops throughout the month in Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. On the album, Stills and Collins reflect on 50 years of music and friendship, and that also began with their tumultuous love affair in the late 1960s. Can't forget about that. Anthrax's drummer Charlie Benanti says that the band's follow-up album to their 2016 effort For All Kings will feature some more extreme and angry music. Benanti told Heavy Music Interviews via Metal Hammer, "This next record is definitely going to be a little more extreme and a little more angry in places, because I just think that's where I'm at this point in the world. Right now I'm very angry with a couple of things that have happened, and I'm also very happy. So I think it's going to be a really good blend of anger and happy. Hey, good to have that therapeutic outlet of a rock and roll band to get those emotions out, but good to see the bright side as well." Brian Setzer and his 19-piece orchestra have announced they will be releasing their new concert film, Christmas Rocks Live, on Blu-ray November 9th. Filmed in Santa Barbara at the historic Granada Theater, the 18-song film highlights Setzer's arrangements of holiday classics such as Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, Jingle Bells, and Here Comes Santa Claus, in addition to hits like Stray Cat Strut, Jump, Jive, and Wail, and Rock This Town. Also featured is Setzer's rendition of the Nutcracker Suite. Christmas Rocks Live, which comes with an audio download, is set for release just prior to the Brian Setzer Orchestra's November 16th launch of their 15th anniversary, Christmas Rocks. Halloween's always a lot of fun, especially for trick-or-treaters at elementary schools. It's even more fun if the Red Hot Chili Peppers happen to show up at your school. That's what happened. The Chili Peppers delivered a unique performance on Halloween for students at Viewpoint School in Calabasas, California, and the institution are streaming video from the event. Rolling Stone magazine reports the appearance at the school, attended by some of drummer Chad Smith's kids, happened during its Great Pumpkin Day assembly, where the band played a Halloween song, Spooky Scary Skeletons, and their own 2002 hit Can't Stop from the By the Way album. The Chili Peppers members got in the spirit of the show for the mini-show, with frontman Anthony Kiedis dressed in a schoolboy-styled shorts outfit with a mask and bassist Flea in a skeleton bodysuit. Guitarist John Klinghoffer sported a green wig, suit, and sunglasses, and Chad Smith was decked out in, well, papal regalia, wearing a Guy Fawkes mask. Too serious to dress up and play at elementary schools for Halloween, nonetheless, Dream Theater's new studio album will be hitting stores in late February, according to keyboard player Jordan Rudess, who will also be releasing a new solo album next spring. He revealed in a brand new interview, Rudess was interviewed by Metal Wani about his upcoming Bach to Rock tour dates, and said Dream Theater album is coming out in late February, being mixed as we speak or listen. It sounds awesome, and I'm excited about it. There's a very strong energy around the band these days. We all feel very connected and excited about what's coming, and we can't wait to unleash the whole thing on everybody. And that's all going to happen really, really soon as well. It's just right around the corner. Jordan also revealed that his next solo album is going to come out in April. It's not a piano album. It'll be a rock album that's actually being mixed. Fleetwood Mac have expanded their current North American tour with the addition of a series of new concert dates in 2019. Tickets for the new dates will go on sale to the general public Monday, November 12th, 10 a.m. local time. Fleetwood Mac has added second shows in six cities, including Denver, Colorado on January 31st, Chicago on March the 1st, and the Big Apple on March 18th, as well as Philadelphia March 22nd, Boston on April 2nd, and a tour closing night in Toronto, Ontario, April the 8th. Fleetwood Mac kicked off the extensive tour in Tulsa, Oklahoma back in October, featuring a newly revamped lineup, including Mike Campbell of Tom Petty's band and Neil Finn of Crowded House and Split Ends fame in place of longtime guitarist Lindsey Buckingham, following his firing early this year. Buckingham, not going away quietly, recently filed a lawsuit against Fleetwood Mac over several issues while seeking to recoup the earnings he would have made from the 2018-2019 tour. A big pile of money. Following the North American run, Fleetwood Mac will play a series of spring 2019 dates in the UK and the rest of Europe. Well, we touched on this story on Backbeat Radio last month. If you missed it, you can always go back to the archives here on HealthyLife.net, click that podcast on-demand link, and listen to any of our past shows on there. Or you could just listen right now. Led Zeppelin have filed an appeal over a recent decision by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco that overturned a 2016 jury verdict that found that the iconic band did not steal any original music from Torres, a 1968 track by the LA band Spirits, also a Zodiac sign. In September, the Federal Appeals Court determined that parts of the jury instructions in that jury trial were erroneous and prejudicial, stating that the original judge erred by telling the jury that common musical elements such as descending chromatic scales, arpeggios, or short sequences of three notes were not protected by copyright. According to Law 360, Led Zeppelin's representatives submitted a request October 26th asking the court to reconsider the decision by a three-judge panel to send the case back to trial, saying the ruling threatens to improperly extend protection to collections of public domain elements that shouldn't be covered by copyright law. At best, the decision will cause confusion and unpredictability throughout the circuit, writes Led Zeppelin's legal team. At first, it'll cause jurors to find infringement just because the same unprotected elements are present, upsetting the delicate balance between protecting authors of original material and the freedom to use public domain elements. Torres was written by late Spirit guitarist Randy Wolf, better known as Randy California. I think you should have kept Wolf. That's a cool name, too. And his trust brought the copyright infringement lawsuit forward. Michael Skidmore, the trustee for Wolf, a.k.a. California, has said that Robert Plant and Jimmy Page may have been inspired to write 1971's Stairway to Heaven after hearing Spirit perform Torres while the band toured together in 68 and 69. The two-week trial in 2016 saw Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, and non-defendant John Paul Jones. John Paul was pretty well liked and respected. He didn't write the song, apparently. And saw them take the stand to deny exposure to Torres while explaining the creation of Stairway at Jimmy's residence at Headley Grange in the UK. The two songs do have a bit of a similar sound, yet seems strange that the song was released in 1971 and we didn't hear a peep about it until well after 2011, some 40 years later, shortly after the death of Randy California. Well, actually, that took place a long time ago, but seems strange that we're hearing about it now and that there's an appeal nonetheless. Moving on with Backbeat Radio and Backbeat Word on the Street, a whole lot of music news today. John Mellencamp has expanded a 2019 U.S. tour in support of his forthcoming album, Other People's Stuff. The rocker from Indiana has added more than a dozen shows in late spring to the previously announced series dubbed The John Mellencamp Show. That'll begin South Bend, Indiana, February 7th. You can go to Mellencamp.com, and VIP pre-sale tickets for the new dates will be available beginning earlier this week, Wednesday, November 7th, 10 a.m. local time, Thursday, November 8th, 10 a.m. local time, with an American Express pre-sale running Wednesday, November 7th, 12 p.m. local time until Thursday, November 8th, 10 p.m. local time. General public tickets will go on sale Friday, November 10th, 10 a.m. local time, except 11 a.m. in Green Bay. And Mellencamp's live show performances will start promptly at 8 p.m., I'm assuming local time, and will not include an opening act, while every ticket purchased online will receive a physical copy of Other People's Stuff. You know, it's pretty interesting that, you know, the big way many musicians and the music business is thriving nowadays is the concert ticket and the concert experience. And a lot of bands have been recording albums, some who are out there touring on the strength of a catalog of history, in the case of John Mellencamp, or in the case of Slash of Guns N' Roses, out there with his solo band, Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. Those two bands both have released new material, are touring, and have offered a free copy of their new CD, digital download, with those who purchase concert tickets. Very cool. And if you look around, a lot of good deals out there for music fans. Well, Hunt Sales, who is best known as a drummer, working as a sideman for Todd Rundgren, Iggy Pop, and David Bowie, including being a co-founder of the band Tin Machine, is putting his sideman status aside with the launch of Hunt Sales Memorial's new album, Get Your SH Together. There's two letters in there I can't say that would complete the title, and that's coming out in January. Some of the details: Hunt Sales has a career that began when he was a teenager in the mid-1960s. Sales has kind of seen and done it all. Beyond his impressive rock and roll portfolio, he's played blues for the legendary Lowell Folsom, recorded with Funkmaster Bootsy Collins, jammed out with Tex-Mex All-Stars Los Super 7, devoted himself to mastering organ trio music in Dixieland jazz, and served up songs across the spectrum for film and TV. Now, if there's a professional or creative path to explore, Hunt Sales has probably traveled it. Now leading his new project, Hunt Sales Memorial, he's stepping into the spotlight at last, saying, "I'm a new artist, that's an old artist," offers the 64-year-old resident of Austin, Texas. "I'm a guy who's worked with the biggest stars in the world, but I'm still unknown and underground." For Sales, the new chapter in his life came as he finally rid himself of a long-time heroin habit. The life expectancy for the typical addict is 10 or 15 years, and I lived way longer because I was a professional junkie at it, says Sales. "But after so many decades, I finally had to stop. I outlived my addiction. At the moment I stopped, when I decided to put it down and care again, the universe opened up for me." The city that would midwife his rebirth was Memphis, Tennessee, where Sales was invited by his Austrian compatriot, guitarist Will Sexton. In 2017, Sexton brought Sales to the Bluff City to play a couple of concerts together and then introduced him to Big Legal Mess head Fat Possum record label executive Bruce Watson. Sales goes on to say, "Bruce instantly understood what I was and saw the value in me." Watson offered Sales a chance to record for his label, initially dangling a deal for a single. But Sales said, "If I were doing a single, instead of cutting two songs, I'll do four songs," and it became six. I was inspired by the chance I had been given and ended up writing all this stuff. Bruce saw my work ethic and said, "Well, let's make it an album then." Now, Hunt Sales is the son of comedian Soupy Sales. And he started playing drums as a child after he went to a recording session with his dad, Soupy, and glimpsed rock innovator Earl Palmer, who had played with Little Richard and Fats Domino behind the kit. So I heard him play and said, I want to do that. Hunt Sales would soon find himself sitting at the feet of R&B and jazz giants, learning firsthand from trapped masters like Art Blakey and Buddy Rich. So those people helped me out, and they schooled me as a kid and shared their groove with me. Just imagine all the great stories of having a father named Soupy, huh? Well, Sales quit junior high after tasting success with Tony the Tigers, a teen beat band, with his brother and frequent collaborator Tony Fox Sales. Later, the Sales brothers joined Todd Rundgren for the Runt album and project and scoring a top 20 hit with We Gotta Get You a Woman. The siblings then kicked around various bands in L.A. before famously hooking up with David Bowie and Iggy Pop on Iggy's Lust for Life album. If you know that song, then you've heard Hunt Sales' drum work at the beginning of that iconic tune that's, well, been used in a lot of movies, including Trainspotting. If you're a fan of the Jim Rome Sports Talk show, it's the music he uses to kick off and end that show each and every hour. Well, a decade later, the Sales brothers would reunite with David Bowie as Hunt provided songs, vocals, and beats for the Thin White Duke late 80s hard rock effort Tin Machine. In the years after, Sales' music career met many ups and downs, and he plunged deeper into a life of addiction. So I've been ripped off for lots of money in the music business, but I've still got the gold records, and they look good on the wall, he says. I can look at myself in their reflection when I come home in the evening, covered in paint for my job, because that's the only thing I can do other than play music. I'm a guy who got an 8th grade education, then hit the road. I've been playing every dive and arena in America since I was a kid, and I've toured in station wagons and Learjets. You can say I've done it all. Well, I say it's time we take a break on Backbeat Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
Lighting the way with positive energy and love. HRNradio.com.
Backbeat Word on the Street continuing. If you're just tuning in and enjoying the show and you're on the Twitter, you can always find Backbeat_radio and follow me and what's happening with Backbeat Radio there. Also on Facebook with Backbeat Radio. Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody biopic has topped the global box office with a huge opening weekend. Variety reports the film, which was directed by Dexter Fletcher and stars Rami Malek as Freddie Mercury, led the international box office numbers with $72.5 million in revenue and another $50 million in North America. With a production budget of $52 million, the project's worldwide tally currently sits at $141.7 million after only a few days in theaters. As Billboard notes, Bohemian Rhapsody has delivered the second biggest start of all time for a music biopic behind 2015's Straight Outta Compton, which earned $60.2 million even when adjusted for inflation. Bohemian Rhapsody follows Queen from their creation in 1970 to the band's legendary 1985 performance at Live Aid. Much more than a documentary of someone's life, it's a piece of pure art, chiseled out of solid rock, says guitarist Brian May. It speaks of families and relationships and hopes and dreams and heartache and disappointment, and ultimately a victory and fulfillment in a way that everyone can connect to. It hasn't been an easy journey, but all the most worthwhile journeys are like that. Rami and Lucy and the boys give monumental performances more than worthy of the originals. The companion soundtrack to Queen's biopic, Bohemian Rhapsody, has debuted on the U.S. charts, according to Billboard. The project enters the Billboard 200 at number 22 with opening week sales of 24,000 equivalent album units, including 12,000 in traditional album units. The Billboard 200 chart ranks the most popular albums of the week in the U.S. based on a multi-metric consumption as measured in equivalent album units, which are comprised of traditional album sales, track equivalent albums, or TEA, and streaming equivalent albums, SEA. The soundtrack mixes classic live and studio tracks with previously unavailable Queen performances from Live Aid. the five tracks from Queen's 21-minute performance at the charity concert Bohemian Rhapsody. Radio Gaga, Hammer to Fall, and We Are the Champions have never been released in audio form before. They were previously issued on videos as a special extra on the DVD Blu-ray release of Queen Rock Montreal, which features the Montreal Forum shows of November 1981. Among the rarities included in the package is a newly recorded version of the song Doing All Right by members of Smile, the predecessor to Queen, that featured Brian May and John Taylor and vocalist Tim Staffel. Almost 50 years after the original Smile recording, the three players reunited at Abbey Road Studios to recreate the original version of the tune, which Queen recorded for inclusion on their 1973 self-titled debut album. AC/DC drummer Chris Slade, who returned to the group to replace Phil Rudd in 2016, has addressed some of the recent rumors that are swirling around the band's activities. Rumors surfaced earlier this year that the band was working at a Vancouver studio after Brian Johnson, Phil Rudd, Angus, and Stevie Young were spotted at the facility, fueling speculation that AC/DC were working on a new album. While it appears that Slade's return to the band may be over, he was asked his thoughts about the rumors about the previous lineup getting back together by Eon Music. He said, "Yes, if it works, good luck. It's great. Why not? There's all sorts of rumors, too. Axel's going to be doing a track, Brian's going to be doing a track, and so many variables there. And I've learned with AC/DC also not to believe the rumors, because even fans fake things. But Angus is now over 60, I think, so he's still got a few years to go. If you go by me and Brian, that's all he does. He relaxes by painting, smoking, and that's about it. So the rest of the time, he's playing guitar." Bass player Cliff Williams made it well known he was retiring following the band's Rock or Bust tour, and Slade was asked who he thought may be taking over for him. He responded, "Not sure about that, but Stevie Young and Angus both play bass. Would Cliff come out of retirement? Well, it depends on if he's bored or not, because all he will want to do these days is go fishing with his son, who is a professional fisherman. So I don't know. It is possible, of course, but they're all rumors. Angus is a very big family-oriented person, a la Stevie, so I wouldn't be surprised if there's a nephew or a cousin or something who plays bass. So that's just a thought." A Van Halen-inspired play will be opening off-Broadway early next year. While apparently inspired by the legendary Southern California Rockers, the play tells the story with a twist. Entitled Eddie and Dave, the production changes things up by casting women to play the title characters for the show, which run from January 10th through February 10th at the Atlantic Theater Company. Here's the synopsis. A raucous retelling of the rise and fall of Pasadena's most groundbreaking 80s rockers, told through the foggy lens of a lonely out-of-work MTV VJ. Eddie and Dave is a gender-bending new play by Amy Statz, Miles for Mary, and Atlantic's Toe Playwright in Residence, among her credits. It's a story about hubris, friendship, family fame, musical genius, and what happens when the person you need is the one you find most irritating. Kiss reunited with original lead guitarist Ace Frehley for the first time in 17 years during an October 31st acoustic performance on Kiss Cruise 8, and the group are streaming official video from the event. The pairing last played together on the band's 2000-2001 farewell tour before Ace resumed his solo career and Kiss moved forward with guitarist Tommy Thayer and drummer Eric Singer. According to Rolling Stone, Frehley joined his former bandmates on their annual cruise for four songs, including the band's cover of the 1967 Rolling Stones classic 2000 Man, the guitarist's hit cover of the 1975 track New York Groove, Kiss's 1973 debut Nothing to Lose, and their 75 signature tune Rock and Roll All Night. "This is great. This has been great," said Frehley midway through his appearance. "Thank you guys for inviting me up. All this couldn't have happened if we hadn't happened. We started this," added Paul Stanley, "so thank you for being here." Along with Frehley, the acoustic set also featured former Kiss guitarist Bruce Kulick in the lineup from 1984 to 1996, who opened the guest portion with the 1992 single Domino and 1989's Hide Your Heart. Eric Clapton is premiering a new music video for his cover of the holiday classic White Christmas from his recently released collection Happy Christmas. Written by Irving Berlin and a huge 1942 hit for Bing Crosby, the song went on to become one of the biggest-selling singles in music history, with all versions combining for an estimated 100 million copies sold worldwide. Clapton's first full-length Christmas album, Happy Xmas, delivers a mix of seasonal standards, including Silent Night and Away in a Manger, and lesser-known holiday tunes alongside a new original track, For Love on Christmas Day. I had in my head that these holiday songs could be done with a slight blues tinge, and I started to figure out how to play the blues lines in between the vocals, says Clapton. I got it down, and one of the most identifiable songs on the album, the one that became the foundational style, is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Clapton co-produced Happy Xmas with Simon Climie, as well as providing an illustration of Santa Claus for the record's cover. His guitar playing is much better than his illustrating, but I digress. The Recording Academy Producers and Engineers Wing have announced that they will be honoring 8-time Grammy Award winner Willie Nelson at its annual Grammy Week celebration Wednesday, February 6, 2019 at the Village Studios in West Los Angeles. Now in its 12th year, the event will celebrate the artistic achievements and creative genius of Willie Nelson, one of the music industry's most beloved icons. The event also acknowledges the overall industry contributors of the Producers and Engineers Wing's more than 6,400 professional members. Grammy Week culminates with the 61st Annual Grammy Awards Sunday, February 10, 2019, airing live on CBS TV. Willie Nelson has inspired generations of musicians and fans and continues to set precedents of excellence within the music community, said Neil Portnow, president and CEO of the Recording Academy. We are privileged to pay tribute this year to an industry pioneer who perfectly embodies the tireless efforts of the Producers and Engineers Wing as we continue to raise awareness of the ever-evolving climate of sound quality and the increasing interest in the preservation and integrity of recorded music. Each year, the Recording Academy's Producers and Engineers Wing annual Grammy Week event honors members of the recording community who exhibit exceptional standards of integrity, creativity, and sonic quality, said Maureen Drowney, Managing Director of the Recording Academy Producers and Engineers Wing. We're thrilled to pay homage to Willie Nelson, an undeniable icon with an incomparable and uncompromising body of work. Congratulations, Willie. I'm Jay Cruz, and we're going to take a break and be back in a few moments. Please, if you're online, go to Facebook, Backbeat Radio, follow the page, like the page, share it, and tell a friend. And we're also on Twitter at Backbeat_radio. Backbeat Word on the Street continues with more music news after this.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
And we are back. Backbeat Radio and Backbeat Word on the Street and a whole lot of music news today. I'm Jay Cruz checking in. If you're listening to the show on Saturday, well, I'm going to be pretty much sky high flying over the western half of the United States on my way to Seattle. There's a big concert going up there, benefit concert put on by Mr. Joe Walsh, famous of the James Gang, the Eagles. Also a little-known statistic in Joe's illustrious career, among other things. Well, there's one story I absolutely can't tell on the radio, but one story I can tell is that for those fans of Led Zeppelin, Jimmy Page, and the fact that Jimmy Page is kind of known for playing a Gibson guitar, it was Joe Walsh who actually sold Jimmy his first Gibson Sunburst guitar when Led Zeppelin, or actually the Yardbirds, were touring in the late 1960s. Joe came to see a show with the James Gang in Cleveland and sold one of his guitars, not his favorites, but one of a pair of guitars he had to Mr. Jimmy Page, who went on to, of course, make that pretty much an iconic part of his repertoire of instruments. In fact, Jimmy Page is moving back to the Telecaster, and there will be a reissue of the Fender Telecaster coming out soon. But on to the show. Chris Stapleton and Don Henley are set to join Joe Walsh for a show this Sunday, the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Joe Walsh's second annual Vets Aid benefit concert set for Sunday, November 11th, 11-11, in Tacoma, Washington. The concert series, or benefit series, if you will, launched in 2017. And Vets Aid is a nonprofit organization that Joe Walsh, the son of a flight instructor who died on active duty when Walsh was an infant, set up to fund various veterans-related charities. The first edition of the concert took place last September when the Eagles guitarist recruited country acts Keith Urban and the Zac Brown Band, as well as blues singer Gary Clark Jr. Now, also on the bill for the 2018 edition this Sunday will be James Taylor and the band Haim. This year's event moves to the concept appropriate date of November 11th, 11/11, or Veterans Day, and moves locations from Virginia to the Tacoma Dome just outside of Seattle, Washington. While Chris Stapleton is the lone country representative this year, of course Don Henley and Joe Walsh, longtime bandmates in the Eagles, I'm praying those two do some songs together, I'm sure it'll happen, well, they leaned heavily on the country and western genre over the years, and Henley leaned quite heavily again on his latest LP, 2015's Cass County, which he recorded in Nashville. Now, Chris Stapleton, who became a father of twins earlier this year, congratulations, Chris, is currently in the middle of his All-American Roadshow tour, which will wrap up, has wrapped up already a few weeks before Vets Aid on November 4th, so he should be rested, yet in touring shape, if you will. And Chris Stapleton will once again hit the road next July, July 28th, at the Gorge Amphitheater in George, Washington. War is hell for everyone involved. I lost my father when I was a baby, before I could even make a memory of him, said Joe Walsh. I stopped counting the number of friends I lost in the Vietnam War that came home forever scarred, mentally or physically or both. We've only just begun to appreciate the long-term impacts of our troops home from Iraq, and in Afghanistan, the longest war in American history continues to drag on with no end in sight. Walsh continues, I had to do something, and sing as though rock and roll seems to be what I do best, it's also the least I could do for those who have served and continue to serve our country. We're all in this together as Americans, and seems to me appropriate use of a James Gang lyric there. Seems to me lately that people are forgetting that. So I decided to put on a show, raise some money, bring people back together, and celebrate our vets. And let's do it every year. Also, I may have forgot to mention Ringo Starr will be making a guest appearance at this show as well. So you got Chris Stapleton, Joe Walsh, Don Henley. That's like almost an Eagles reunion right there with Walsh and Henley. There should be some songs performed. And Joe's longtime buddy Ringo Starr will be making a special appearance in addition to James Taylor and the band Haim, who I don't really know much about, but I assume I'll be getting familiar with them by the end of the show. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee and multi-Grammy Award winner, guitarist, singer, songwriter, and producer Joe Walsh goes on to say, veterans and their well-being have always been important to Joe. The Gold Star family member himself, his father was a flight instructor for the first U.S. operational jet-powered aircraft, the Lockheed F-80 Shooting Star, and died while stationed in active duty in Okinawa when Joe was just 20 months old. Joe has been involved with veterans-related causes for years, supporting various charities, visiting the Walter Reed National Military Medical Center, and offering free guitar lessons to the wounded veterans there. He has campaigned for his good friend now, Senator Tammy Duckworth of Illinois, an Iraq War veteran. And it was for this reason that in 2017, Joe founded Vets Aid, a national 501c nonprofit organization and benefit music festival to raise and disperse sorely needed funds to veterans groups across the country that are serving the men and women who served our country with the dignity, compassion, and honor they deserve. I'm just going to jump in and say, you know, it's great that Joe and so many other musicians do donate their time and effort and put on concerts to raise money, in this case veterans, but for so many causes where, you know, in this country, we just went through a big election phase, and especially in California and, of course, many other places, there were a lot of initiatives, you know, having to do with, you know, raising taxes to help, you know, help out our veterans. And, of course, sympathetic people want to see that help go there, but you're just wondering, why it hasn't happened on a bigger scale already from the national government standpoint or the local government standpoint. It's always musicians giving their time and donating. Anyway, back to the story on Joe. He is aiming to use this platform to raise funds and awareness for the still urgent and significant need of our returning soldiers. Through the establishment of Vets Aid and its annual benefit concert, Joe wants to give back to those who have given so much in sacrifice for the USA. Vets Aid plan to directly support a variety of established and tested veterans-based charities, namely those with a proven track record that take care to provide and complete holistic care for veterans and their families, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So right on, Joe. It's going to be a heck of a concert. Looking forward to seeing Joe Walsh, a longtime fan of his. I've never seen him or any of the Eagles, including Mr. Hanley, in concert. So that's going to be an extra bonus. And Chris Stapleton, of course, one of the best up-and-coming newer artists in the country western genre. He's been a songwriter for a lot of years, has a couple great albums out, and I was a little too busy to catch him back summer, and luckily my awesome girlfriend said, well, where is Chris Stapleton playing? Let's go. Oh, he's playing in Tacoma. We should go to that show. Turns out it's on Veterans Day and 11-11, which is a significant special anniversary memento for us. And historically, it's also a significant number in why Veterans Day is on the 11th. It was signed in the 11th day of the 11th month in the 11th hour. So it's a special time for that to be observed as well. Here in Los Angeles, another senseless shooting happened with a veteran dealing with PTSD, from what early reports say. So these programs are needed. We definitely need to reach out and take care of our veterans who sacrifice so much for us so that we can enjoy freedoms here in this country and around the world. And again, music and musicians seems to be doing more than the politicians and the medical establishments, but every little bit helps. Also, if you can't make the show in Tacoma, keep an eye on it for next year. It appears Joe is trying to take this thing in different parts of the country. Last year, Virginia, this time on the West Coast, just outside of Seattle. You can go to vetsaid.org, and you can actually make a donation there, buy some merchandise, and find out a little bit more about it. I'm Jay Cruz. I think it's time for a break on Backbeat Radio. We'll be back in a moment, right after this.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
And let's continue the show. Backbeat Radio, Backbeat Word on the Street, and a whole lot of music news today. I'm Jay Cruz. Just was talking about Joe Walsh and the Veterans Aid concert, Vets Aid show going on in Seattle this coming weekend, November 11th, 11-11 in Tacoma, Washington. Before that concert or after that concert, somewhere on my trip, there's one place I'm kind of thinking I want to try to check out, the Museum of Pop Culture, where there's some Jimi Hendrix exhibits and a lot of other exhibits about the historic significance of especially 90s Seattle rock and roll, a.k.a. the grunge era, if you will, and recently put outside enshrined a bronze statue of Soundgarden Audioslave frontman Chris Cornell. Definitely going to try to check that out. Recently in Rolling Stone, it was reported about the new box set that will be coming out, a new career-spanning Cornell box set that will be coming out in just about a week or so. And Kim Thayil, guitarist of Soundgarden, was interviewed recently in Rolling Stone and talking about Chris and a lot of stuff that he helped sort of supervise on this box set, saying there's a lot of things about Chris Cornell that people don't know. He didn't bring a lot of baggage, meaning he didn't carry a lot of things or materials or relationships within his life. He was a little bit independent of that and traveled pretty lightly. Well, in late October, Kim Thayil was out on the road helping the band the MC5 with their MC5O tribute show, Wayne Kramer's all-star MC5 tribute band, out on the road and playing some of the old MC5 tracks, which Kim Thayil was quite a fan of. And in late October, when the interview in Rolling Stone took place, it was almost 29 years ago to the day that he was in that same room with Cornell drummer Matt Cameron and bassist Hiro Yamamoto while Soundgarden were touring in support of the album Louder Than Love. And the reason Thayil is opening up is because of a new 4-disc career-spanning box set simply titled Chris Cornell that the singer's estate will issue on November 16th. It is now available for pre-order, and the set features 88 songs that show off the full breadth of Cornell's incredible music life from his earliest beginnings with his band Soundgarden to the one-off supergroup Temple of the Dog, in tribute to his late friend Andrew Wood. Also the years with Audioslave, basically the members of Rage Against the Machine, with Chris on vocals, making a new supergroup there in the early 2000s, and the whole span of an eclectic solo career that saw him writing James Bond theme songs and collaborating with hip-hop producer Timbaland. There's also a bevy of unreleased live cuts, including a touching duet with his daughter Tony on Bob Marley's Redemption song that was recorded at the Beacon Theater in New York. As Kim Thayil explains, the goal going in was to capture the breadth of his career and a large spectrum of stylistic approaches to songwriting and the growth that was shown. Thayil added, obviously Chris isn't there to put in his 2 cents, so we have to try to appraise what his feelings and sentiments will be. There are some cases where I remember distinctly that Chris didn't like this song, or he didn't like this record, or he didn't like a particular version, so it's like, let's not use that one. Some of the songs you can look forward to on there are Hunted Down, the very first Soundgarden single released by Sub Pop Records in 1987, and the collection winds through many twists and turns Cornell took through his artistic life in a largely chronological format. You can listen in real time as his skills as a songwriter refine and develop. The lyrics get a little bit more sophisticated and I think maybe a little more poetic, Thayil notes of the Cornell progression. Maybe in the early days it was a lot of songs about dogs and the sun, you know? Though Cornell wrote most of Soundgarden's lyrics, it makes sense for the singer to write the lyrics, especially if you're a great singer, the guitarist Thayil says. In the lion's share of the songs, they are always a collaborative band. Even as Cornell became more confident in his own abilities as a songwriter and would compose fully realized demos on his own, his early home-recorded version of Black Hole Sun, for instance, sounds shockingly similar to the final version on the album Super Unknown. He typically left room for the other members of the band to add their own spin. Well, just like anyone, Thayil has his favorite Cornell songs, like the ultra-mega-OK cut Beyond the Wheel, which sadly didn't make it onto the set. Thayil says, I think it's pretty brilliant, psychedelic, heavy, and a little sprinkle of evil. He was also partial to Rusty Cage, which did make the cut. And there's something about that guitar riff that's really imaginative, and the arrangement is not a verse-chorus-verse-chorus arrangement. It's kind of like an A chorus, and then this B section, it ends with this other, entirely different riff. Well, beyond his songwriting, one of the most mesmerizing aspects of Cornell's artistic performance was his ability to adapt his otherworldly voice to fit different moods on different songs. From the banshee wails on Audioslave's Barn Burner Cochise to the subdued and sulky single soundtrack solo cut Seasons, he knew exactly how to use his instrument to wring the most amount of emotion from a given piece. For instance, not many rock or metal singers are capable of pulling off something as gorgeous and understated as the rendition of Schubert's immortal Ave Maria, included on Chris Cornell. I think the main thing is to represent his versatility. Cornell was also a natural at creating compelling reinterpretations of other people's songs. There's his take on Jimi Hendrix's Hey Baby from Land of the New Rising Sun, the simmering version of Michael Jackson's Billie Jean, the soaring rendition of Prince's Nothing Compares to You, and of course Soundgarden-inspired spin on the Black Sabbath classic Into the Void, where Cornell substituted Ozzy's lines for a speech written by 19th century Native American leader Self that fit the same meter. Yeah, Thayil goes on in the interview to also talk about some of the other hit tracks that you would expect to be on there, like some of the songs that were Soundgarden hits, but he kept off, even though you would expect they would possibly go there, just out of the context of Chris's passing. A huge consideration when picking out the tracks for the boxes, how they might be viewed now, given the nature of Cornell's death. Thayil says, one of my concerns was just making sure there weren't any difficult lyric or themes. Just keep that off, Thayil says. There's lyrics or titles that may not be appropriate in this context. Might be difficult for friends and family to listen to songs like The Day I Tried to Live, Just Like Suicide, or the Down on the Upside standout Pretty Noose. They were left out of the discussion entirely. Because of the darker content of a lot of Cornell's writing, many people got a sense of him as a brooding loner, but that's not exactly the guy Thayil remembers. So he was a normal kid, the guitarist says, pretty funny and pretty damn goofy. Another consideration was to make sure that the contents of the compilation stayed out of the way of some future projects that might eventually see release, including some new, unheard Soundgarden songs the band was refining at the time Chris died. Yeah, we were working on an album before everything came to a head, so we have some pretty strong demo material that we're still trying to finish developing and accessing some of the recording material to be able to flesh it out. So, fans of Chris Cornell, look forward to a definitive box set coming out on November 16th. And that's just about going to wrap up today's version of Backbeat Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thanks for supporting this show for, I think it's heading into our fourth year at the end of 2018 now. We've been doing this for a while, a couple years on the weekly, and now a couple years on the once-a-month time slot. Backbeat Radio comes to you live on the second Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time each and every month, and can be found on the podcast on-demand link here at healthylife.net. If you'd like to download it, listen to it again, or share it with a friend. I'm Jay Cruz, back in December with Backbeat Radio. Until then, be safe, be well, and please tune in December.